Welcome. This is Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. May God enable you to rightly understand and eternally benefit.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, why are we here? Not here in church, but why are we here in this difficult world rather than in the glory of heaven? I would much rather be there. I'm guessing that would be the same for you. I believe that we are here because God has a particular purpose for each one of our lives. What would that purpose be? We get at it a little bit when we think about Matthew chapter 5. What did Jesus say about his followers? He said to them, "You are salt. You are light." He didn't say, "Become such things." He said, "You are such things. You are such things in order to make a difference in the world, to make an eternal difference in the lives of others." That's why God leaves us here for now in this fallen world. In the sermon today, we come back to John the Baptizer again. We looked at some things about him last week. Today, we look at some other things about John. And as we think about John, God was using him to make an eternal difference in others. So again, let's listen as to how God is doing that. And then at the end of the sermon today, we're going to come to some practical ways in which God can very easily work in our lives to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. As we get into the text today, keep in mind here that we are in the Gospel of John. So it was the Apostle John that the Holy Spirit moved to write down what we have here in the Gospel of John. So we have the Apostle John writing about John the Baptizer. We come to the purpose of John the Baptizer. So we come to John chapter 1, picking up in verse 6, the Bible says, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify." So his job was to tell the truth about the light, about the coming Messiah, who is the true light of the world. Why was he to do such things? So that all might believe in Jesus through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. So why was John the Baptizer sent? To tell people the truth about Jesus. And even prior to that, to tell people the truth about themselves. How John could have said to them, "You people, you and me, we are poor, miserable sinners. But God still loves us. God has taken action. God has done something about it. And what he has done is he has sent his son to take away our sins." So John told them the truth. Why is the truth important? We think about Jesus' famous words there in John chapter 8. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We might say, free from what? We're already free. We live in a free country. What freedom do we need? Well, he's talking about freedom from our sins condemning us. That is the right thing. God told us what is right. We have done wrong, we have sinned. It is right that our sins would eternally condemn us. But in Jesus Christ, through the truth about our sin and about who Jesus is and what he has done, and then through that gift of faith by which we trust in Jesus, that truth sets us free from the condemnation of our sins. It doesn't mean our sins are gone. In the sight of God, they are gone, but we still have this reality of sin that is a sad thing. However, though, we can rejoice, even in the midst of our sin, we can rejoice because our sins are no longer condemning us. That is so important. And then we come to the identity of John the Baptizer. Picking up in verse 19, the Bible says, "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him." So they've come to ask him a number of questions. Who are these men who have come? The priests, they are the ones who performed the sacred rites in the temple. And then along with them came some Levites, and they're kind of the helpers of the priests in a sense. So these two groups of important men, they have come from Jerusalem. About how far have they come? They've come about 20 miles. So not quite so easy back then. These are important people. They're going to travel 20 miles to ask John some questions. That's the setting we have here. So first of all, they say to him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." So when they came, they seem to be thinking, this guy just might be the Christ. What would lead them to come to such a conclusion? Well, think about his miraculous birth. Think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were older. Elizabeth was beyond the years of having a child, and yet she had a child. So really a miraculous birth with John. So that seems to be pointing to something very special. And then his strong truth-telling. He wasn't trying to tell people what they wanted to hear so they would put more money in the offering plate. He was going to tell them the truth, whether they liked it or not. And then he was so popular. So many people were going out, they thought, maybe he is the Christ, maybe he is the promised Messiah, but John made it very clear, I am not. And then they said to him, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." Why would they think that maybe he might be Elijah? That's kind of an odd question, isn't it? Well, when we go to the last book in the Old Testament, to the book of Malachi, we see God the Father saying these words, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." So God the Father said he would send him. So it kind of makes sense that they're thinking, well, God said he would do it. John is here. He seems extraordinary in various ways. So maybe he is the one. Is that really what God meant, that the actual prophet Elijah from the Old Testament would be sent, or something similar to that? We get clarification when we see what the angel Gabriel said to Zechariah prior to him and his wife having John as their child. The angel said to Zechariah, "Your son, whose name will be John, will go as a forerunner before the Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah." So he wouldn't be Elijah himself, but he would function in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So when they asked him, "Are you Elijah?" that shows they knew their Old Testament scriptures. So it was a very good question, but John made it clear, no, I am not actually Elijah the prophet from the Old Testament. And then they said to him, "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." What did they mean by that? They didn't say, "Are you a prophet?" If they would have asked that question, he would have said yes. But they said, "Are you the prophet?" What is that all about? Well, we have to go to the words that the Lord spoke about 1,400 years earlier in connection with Moses. The Lord said, "I will raise up a prophet." Now, he's talking here about a particular prophet. He's talking about the prophet. "I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So there is this prophecy about this very important prophet to come, and they thought, oh, maybe John is the prophet. But he said, "No, I'm not." Who is the prophet? That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate prophet. Coming now to verse 22 of the text, the Bible says, "Then they said to him," so that would be the priests and the Levites talking to John the Baptizer, "then they said to him, Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. So John has already told them, I am not the Christ, I am not Elijah, I am not the prophet. But they needed to have some kind of an answer, so what does John do? John says, hey guys, think back 700 years ago. Remember that important man named Isaiah? He wrote something, and what he wrote, that pertains to me. I am that guy. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So John did say no to the three questions, but John was basically saying, hey guys, whether you think so or not, I'm a super important person that God has sent in order to prepare the way for the coming of the Christ, who is going to take away the sin of the world, mine, and also yours. And then we come to the work of John the Baptizer. It talks here about the Pharisees in this section. The Pharisees pop up all the time in the New Testament. But who are the Pharisees? Let me just give you this definition before I read the text here. So an organized society of Jews who claimed authority in interpreting the scriptures and setting rules for the observance of the law in daily life. So doesn't that fit in when we think about the Pharisees? So they were all about having all these different rules and regulations. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but what was the big problem? They were basically teaching, do these things very, very well, and that's how you get to heaven. So we never want to think about doing something to get to heaven. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, we cannot do it to God's standard. So that's never the way to heaven, even though we have many, many rules here in the Bible, and should we know them? Should we do our best to follow them? By all means, but they cannot save us. Jesus, he is the one who came. He is the one who kept all the rules. Only through him are we right in the sight of God. So we need to keep that always straight in our hearts and minds. So picking up here in verse 24, the Bible says, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Then they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Just to go back there with verse 24 for a moment. So it was priests and Levites who came, but why did they go? They were sent by the Pharisees. So that's what we have going on here. And then John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And then we have a little note at the end of the text here. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So not the Bethany that's close to Jerusalem, but this is another Bethany out beyond the Jordan. So that's why I said about 20 miles from Jerusalem out to where John was at when they made the trip out there to ask him the questions. But did you catch, though, what John said? John made it clear, hey, I'm not the guy you're looking for. I'm not the Messiah. However, though, see this multitude of people here? He is here. He is in the crowd. He's with us today. Can you imagine how those guys must have started looking around and trying to figure out, who is he? Which one is he? But keep in mind, though, we know from like Isaiah 53 and other places in the Bible that God sent his son who looked like an ordinary man. So he wasn't someone that stood out in the crowd. He wasn't like Saul, who was a foot taller than everybody else, but he was a regular guy. That's what we have there in our text for today, but then a little bit of application here at the end. So I want to think about what we did last week, first of all, and just remind you about it. So I asked the question, why will people come to us? In other words, what does God want to be true about us that will draw people to come to us and be willing to talk to us and to trust us and things like that. I think this is a decent list to start with. We want other people to know about us that we are the kind of people who do what we say. We want people to know that we care about them. We want people to know that we pray for them. We want people to know that we are kind to them. We want people to know that we are honest with them. We want people to know that we speak relevant words to them. And we want people to know that we are here to offer them God's forgiveness. We are here to offer them God's peace, which passeth all understanding. Hopefully, people would know some of those things about us and be drawn to us. What I'm asking today, how can we go on the offensive in a sense? How can we take action toward others? So first of all, I'm urging you, if you are on Facebook, and I'm not endorsing Facebook, but it does touch an awful lot of people in the world and even in our own community. But if you are on Facebook, I'm asking you to like and share the Bethlehem posts. I put a number of posts on there as well as Kathy does too each week. And when posts have more likes, people tend to be drawn to them more and read them. So if you would like the posts and if you share them, see, if you don't share them, it remains simply on the Bethlehem feed, but if you share it, then it goes over to your own feed, and that way all of your friends have an opportunity to see that post. So if it's something that's good, something that's important, if you simply share it, then you're making it possible for all of your friends to be able to see that same information. It's a real simple thing to do. Also, too, I'm saying that we should send Christ-centered Christmas cards. How easy is that? I so wish I had a copy of each of the cards that Kathy has sent over the last like 30 years. She has sent so many amazing Christmas cards. So if we're going to send a Christmas card, I'm not saying you have to do it, but if you're going to do it, why not send one that is so much tied to the truth about Christmas? Don't we live in a world today where there is so much confusion about Christmas? So many people celebrate it, and yet many of the celebrations probably have nothing to do with the Christ of Christmas. So let's make sure we're sending a card that points them in that direction. And actually, if you send it to people who live in the area and don't have a connection to a church, you might even invite them to come and join you on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or something like that. That would be something to include in the card. Also, too, I'm saying that we should display things within our homes regarding Christmas that are Christ-centered. And also outside as well with our displays. Now, if we simply put up lights can be nice, but are people going to make the connection and say, oh, I see lights, and automatically that makes my mind say, oh, they're promoting here Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Are people going to think that? Probably not. So we need to make it more clear to people that what we're doing here is centered in Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. We are poor, miserable sinners. God loved us so much. He sent his son into the world, and we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. So let's try to do that in all kinds of ways. The final thing I have here, real simple, is to encourage people to read the various Christmas parts of each gospel account. So we don't have that many of them, but we have a section in Matthew, a section in Luke, a section in John. So you might even include that in your Christmas card. You could even write those references in there. There aren't very many of them. You can pick up a copy of the sermon, and they're right here on the back of the sermon. But that's an easy way to get people into the Bible. And when they read what's in the Bible, what's going on then? The Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God in order to show them the truth and to make a difference in their lives. So may God help us to take action in some or even all of these various ways in order to reach out to others with the love of God in Christ, that they might know him too, that they also might rejoice in Christ our Savior. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, as John the Baptizer prepared the way for Jesus by his strong truth-telling, we thank you that he did it, and we thank you for those who did listen. We pray that you would help us to do something similar by taking action to like, share, send, display, invite, and encourage. Whether people respond or not, help us to take actions that are good, and we do ask that according to your will, you would move people to respond in a positive way and to rejoice with us in Christ our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
If you are searching for a church home, see our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, and attend with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.